Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Napa know-how.
This month, Napa's got all kinds of motor oil deals that can save you some serious cash. Like a 5-quart jug of Napa Full Synthetic Motor Oil for just $16.49. With savings like that, you may start feeling like a VIP. But don't let it go to your head. These oil deals are for everyone. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
General States pricing. Sales prices not include applicable state local taxes or recycling fees. Offer ends 8/31/20.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babu, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Hey, Collider Live fans, Cody here, and by now you've likely heard about Disney Plus, the new streaming service that includes Disney, Pixar, Marvel, Star Wars, and National Geographic. With all these amazing brands in one place, Disney Plus has one of the most incredible libraries in the entire streaming landscape, and it's all ad-free. From beloved classics like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves to today's blockbusters like Captain Marvel and Avengers Endgame to a critically acclaimed documentaries like National Geographic's Free Solo, the content on Disney Plus is truly unparalleled. Disney Plus also offers some of the most beloved TV shows of all time, including 30 seasons of the Emmy Award-winning animated series The Simpsons. And if that weren't enough, Disney Plus has also rolled out a host of originals like The Mandalorian, the first ever Star Wars live-action series, and High School Musical, the musical, the series, a very meta take on the beloved film franchise. It's no wonder Disney Plus has become one of the most talked about streaming services of 2019, so don't miss out. Sign up for Disney Plus now and start streaming all of this great content today.
Napa know-how.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping on over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, better said Mr. Worldwide. You already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babu, you know that you could get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now, that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the damn YouTubes. And no matter how early we get here in the morning, it is always a shit show getting up. I'm Roxy Stryer alongside the most evil of all time. She's smoking hot right now, literally. Piping.
Oh, yeah. My tea is so hot.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened.
My tea's so hot.
Like you. That something's really good on you,
cold.
Roxy.
My tea's cold.
But your shirt is hot.
Your shirt's even hotter.
It is.
Probably because it's a Heroes Villain shirt.
Yeah,
exactly.
Baby.
We're going to tell awesome. You guys all how to get those Heroes and Villain shirts with the discount in a minute, because before we do that, Mark Riley in the house.
Hello, Roxy. Hello, Darina.
Hi, Mark.
Mark, why are you banging your sheet of paper against your computer?
Didn't mean to.
Okay.
Just didn't mean to.
I'll do it.
I'm getting ready. Just getting ready for a hell of a show. What a show we have and what a guest we have.
I can't lie. I'm freaking out.
Do it.
I'm freaking out.
In
Sam
a good way,
and
right?
Aaron Taylor Johnson coming in. Yeah, are you in a good way?
In a great way.
In a psychotic kind of way. have been binging every project they've ever done to refresh myself, listen to every interview for the last 5 years, and they are making their rounds. Yo, they are the dopest.
They really are. Like, I can't wait to talk to them.
Just so excited. Also, Cody Hall, what's up, man?
Oh, hey, guys. How's it going?
Cody, I was listening to Papa Roach all morning.
Yeah, you were.
Are you serious?
How do you feel like today's going to go for me?
Hell yeah. Today's going to be energetic and angry. It's going to be great.
Oh, shit.
Cut my life into pieces. This is my last resort.
It came on the radio this morning, and I thought to myself again, oh, there's Alex Marzonia not making a theme song for us yet again. Another day, another disappointment.
These songs get
with
you.
No theme song.
Hello, disappointed
get you
Alex.
Stressed.
Hi,
get
Alex.
You...
How's it going, Alex? Roxy giving you shit every time you're here. How are you?
Yeah. Good.
Hey, Alex.
No. Hey, Roxy.
Wait, I heard that yesterday during, I don't know what I'm talking about right now, but I'll say it anyway. Somebody tweeted at me yesterday during the break. Cody and Alex were playing something of me saying something to Alex that was bizarre.
Oh, yeah. Let me play that one.
What is this?
What?
I don't know.
This is a tease for a little game that me and Alex have been putting together for the last few weeks. We're going to do a game that's called Out of Context Soundbites.
Oh, I love you.
This is what inspired it, right?
That's awesome.
Oh, yes, Alex.
Okay.
Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex. Oh, yes, Alex.
Yeah. I don't remember what that was.
Wow.
I remember what it was.
Wow.
Alex, wait, we're talking about you and Filipino boys, probably.
Wow.
Yeah. Alex, what was it actually for?
You're just going to have to wait till we play the game.
Oh, yes.
Oh, that is a great soundbite. Well done, boys.
Oh, it's too good. Yes, going back to Darina's badass shirt and all the shirts we've been wearing this week, guys, Heroes and Villains, they released some new dope stuff. Star Trek, Batman, Joker, Warriors of Mandalore. Wow, the back of that is even sicker.
Awesome?
And also, who knew you could shimmy like that?
Oh, it's like the Latin.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Duh.
It's just, I can't, in fact, if I hear Latin music, I can't not shake my shoulders. I just can't do it.
Maybe
Cody,
you guys at
Latin
home
music
can
going.
Shake your shoulders as well as Darina can. If you buy Heroes Villains stuff at heroesvillains.com, you get 10% off also, by the way, if you use the code LIVE10. So we're always doing things for you guys during the holiday times. What is this, right?
Yeah, I'm just excited, so I just keep doing that.
Okay.
Just do that. And mostly because I love doing these talk about out of context things. Out of context hand motions always get Roxy's attention.
Yeah, because...
Oh, yes, Alex.
Perfect.
It's so
Couldn't
weird.
Couldn't have planned that better.
It's too weird. Again, they have tons of holiday promotions going on. So sometimes it's 10% off there, and then you get an additional 10% if you use Live10. Sometimes it's 25% off. You never know. So check in heroesvillains.com. Look cool like Darina.
And they really do have the best stuff.
Like yeah,
I was saying
do.
On yesterday's show, I don't like promoting stuff I don't like because I don't like lying. This is awesome, you guys.
No, the truth of the matter is I didn't see – I haven't checked yours, Riley, but Darina and I both didn't by any means have to Instagram any of the clothes that they sent us. That wasn't part of anything, and we both wanted to just because I love their stuff.
Yeah, it's really great. And I just want them to get more stuff because I want all of their stuff because it's so good.
Send us more. Yeah, heroesofvillains.com. All right, guys. Jam-packed show today.
Yeah,
yes. How you doing today, Mark? So Mark and I had went to our really cool event
How
yesterday.
Was it?
So Showtime and Collider Games are officially launching a Twin Peaks VR experience. And they've been working on it for a few years. I got to play when I first started working here.
Yeah.
We launched the event yesterday here in studio with, you know, but some of the cast was here.
Yeah.
A lot of, you know, gaming industry people. It was really, really fun.
Booze.
Everybody, of
Booze.
Course, a lot of pie was had. Damn good coffee. Damn fine coffee as well.
Mm-hmm. Did you make the coffee?
No. No. It was like the David Lynch stuff. Like they have like their own coffee.
Damn.
And so Showtime brought that stuff. You know, we had all of the drinks. I had the Laura Palmer. I had a few of those.
I had a few as well.
Very, very good. Right?
So good.
Yeah.
And then I had to stop because they were so good.
Yeah, no.
Exactly. That's but, how, that was about how I felt.
But wasn't the event great, though?
The event was great. Yeah,
I mean, I really, and also
– I got to hand it to all you guys, seriously. You and Thad and Dennis and Wendy and – I mean, you guys just crushed this party.
I mean, they did more than I did, but I did do a pretty awesome music playlist.
Yeah,
you did. Oh, yeah. Is so. There a filmed component of this? Like, are people going to be able to ever see what you guys did or
– Well, you guys can check the Collider video social media. Like,
oh, cool.
Yeah, Dorian was actually there, you know, because Dorian's always
What's
everywhere.
What's up, guys? Your boy Dorian.
There's
there
Dorian.
You go. See, yeah. He's everywhere.
Yeah.
So you guys can check that out. And then we will also be – Showtime will be releasing the press release next week, the official press release. But you will be able to play the game on Steam next week already.
Damn.
It's also coming out on Oculus Rift. It's a really cool experience. Everybody that was here that played it, including the cast and a bunch of people from gaming industry members, loved it. So we got really good positive vibes going on. It was really great.
Cut my life into pieces.
It sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you're like...
So great. So good. This is what
so
I'm picturing
bad.
With the VR.
So bad.
Rocking out.
No, it's not like that at all.
Damn. I'm sad I missed the event. It looked like you guys were
we
having a ball.
You guys.
I saw some red carpet action going down. Everyone was looking so fly.
Yeah, no, it was really fun.
It was
right,
fun.
Mark?
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you get to play it or no?
Yeah, I played like a while ago.
Okay.
Like just a
oh,
little bit.
Oh, good for you.
Oh, good for you.
You.
Oh, my God.
It's nothing to do with the fact I work here. Jesus.
You know what's yeah, good for everyone? Mandalorian.
Oh.
Nice segue.
Well, Baby Yoda, isn't
nice
it?
Nice segue.
There you go.
Thank you. Thank you.
Man, we've covered a lot in only 5 minutes, you guys.
Yeah,
I know.
That's great.
Well, it's because we have here's the deal. I'm not here on Fridays usually.
No.
So this 1 hour thing. Whoa.
Yeah.
There's so much to get through in an hour.
You blink and it's gone.
And it's gone.
And especially when you only have a half hour to cover some of these stuff before our nice guests come in. So it's just like even faster.
I don't even know. Nice is undersell. I'm just like so excited.
Yeah. We did miss you yesterday, though. Yesterday's show was really fun with Josh, Ken, Emma was in it.
Yeah.
It was like her debut. And we had a blast with her. We played a TV theme song game.
Fife came in?
Yeah.
Fife came in.
Yeah. And were you guys talking about my vagina?
Always.
Thank
we
you.
Always talk about your because we're always so concerned about your vagina.
I got some weird tweets about my vagina.
Yeah,
oh, yeah. So what happened, Rossi? Please tell me because I don't understand.
I don't understand.
I can't tell you because I don't understand. So I don't know. Somebody was like, hopefully you didn't miss today's show because your vagina died and Dorina already offered to fix that for you. So true friendship. Like what?
Did they think I was actually going to physically take care of your vagina, or was going to help you? Like,
I'm
like
sure
I was
going to
be like you're going to be my Padawan, and I was going to be, you know, like
oh teacher.
Yeah,
I didn't know what they meant, and decided not to ask follow up questions. But it wasn't the only tweet I got about my vagina yesterday. So I was like, what are they talking about on live today? And why am I not there? I miss them.
Aww, we did miss you yesterday, but you're here today.
That's true. Thankfully. That's here to keep things on track by talking about Mandalorian.
Yeah, but. Why? I just fine. Yeah,
fine. Fine.
I just don't get it. I it's like people that do, you know, whatever.
Finish your sentences, Mark.
I just feel like my grandmother is overlooking this and going just pouting at social media.
Why?
Especially for somebody like that would go and talk to Roxy about her vagina like that.
I mean, it just it also depends on the context, right? But did you feel weird?
I feel
that's an answer right
fine
there.
When you talk about my vagina,
right.
I don't feel as fine about it when somebody tweets at me about my vagina.
Yeah,
this is what I'm talking about. This is where mom is kind of pissed at this, that the way that social media has really taken away manners. You know what I mean?
They ain't got kind of manners. Oh, no. We're not in my family. We're in yours. Nobody has any manners
anymore.
When
did I turn English?
Oh, that's quite the accent.
Nobody has. Well, our guests coming in today have accents, so maybe we can make fools of ourselves by asking them who is the best. Still me.
No, definitely not me. I don't think the Mexican can do a British accent at all.
Mine inevitably turns into a Scottish accent.
You sit in the room, you play the game.
All right, then.
That was okay.
Yeah, I mean, which one should I do? Because there's all the different.
Can
you do all the different ones?
Do the Queen's English.
What's the Queen's English?
Oh, she's
you sound
very,
like you're from London.
No. She's very proper, and she pronounces everything very properly.
Oh. Properly.
Okay.
And what? How do you do that though? It's like at the back of your. It's not even like fringe, where it's the back of your throat. It's like up here.
Alex, you sit in the room. You play the game. What do you got?
Oh shit.
Hello. How are you?
Oh.
Hello.
Alex. Hello. Can I tell you something, Alex?
Very good. Well,
yes, you may.
Since you botched the Australian accent, you've been going to work on this one.
British is my favorite one to do.
Very good.
Very good.
Thank you.
Good,
I really appreciate that.
It's very, very good.
Do you know who we're going to make play the game?
Cody.
Nope.
Here's the thing. Cody. He's the only one who... I say you sit in the room, you play the game, but Cody has way more power than I do because, like, he'll just turn us off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the stream will just...
Yeah.
Yeah. I lost my mic.
There it is.
Called it. Yeah. I deserve that. All right, Mandalorian, guys.
Oh, yeah.
Mandalorian Season 1, Episode 5. Mm-hmm. Last night or this morning, depending on where you are. Let's do a little bit of a spoiler-free, because it hasn't been up for that long. So a spoiler-free review of this. Favorite episode
Spoilers.
So far? Least favorite? Where does it lie in the others?
For me, it's landing kind of in the middle of everything. I would say episode 3 is still my favorite, followed by episode 2. Then I would put the pilot, then this episode, and then last episode, episode 4.
Okay.
So it was a little bit higher than last episode, but I'm still, like, there's a bigger story that I'm waiting to get to. And I feel like we're getting there. In a way that's very interesting character work, but it's for me, it's like I'm like, oh my God, when are we getting there? When are we getting there? But I'm still enjoying the hell out of myself. There's so many great moments in all of these episodes. And this one, for me, it's like, okay, it kind of, no spoilers, but it ends and I go, okay, what's going on? And I'm excited.
Okay.
Dorina, how are you feeling?
Very differently.
Yeah, okay.
So I really enjoyed the third episode. It's definitely my favorite. I thought it was the one that was directed that made me feel like I was watching my Star Wars, you know, which is the original trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
Honestly, the last few, I just, if Baby Yoda wasn't there, I don't know if I'd care. Is that bad?
It's a legitimate question.
I'm trying to think because there's so many shots in the show that look beautiful. You know, music's great. Obviously, love Mando, but it just seems like there's a lot. It's a much slower moving show, which is fine because that's how old Star Wars was, right? Yeah. But and it seems also like kind of like that scene in Clerks 2 where they explain Lord of the Rings and they're like, oh, it's just Fellowship of the Ring. I'm just walking a lot, and then the second movie. Yeah, it's just. I don't exactly what you said, Riley. I'm waiting to see what happens. And if Baby Yoda wasn't there, and if it wasn't a Star Wars show, I wonder if I would actually be really, really invested in it.
Yeah.
Because it's cool to see all these, you know, battle sequences in space. It's cool to see Mando on the speeder bike. It's stuff that like makes you nostalgic, and it's like, oh yeah, that looks cool because I know that. But would I care if it wasn't a Star Wars show?
It's saving grace right now is the fact that it is half an hour,
right?
Because at least I don't have time to be like, oh, this is dragging,
right?
Because every episode we aren't accomplishing that much right now, but it's okay because it's so short. The one of the biggest issues I think that this show is having, which is of no fault of its own, is the fact that it's on the same time as Watchmen.
Correct.
Because right now Watchmen is the buzz. It is the show that everybody's comparing everything to, and people are saying Watchmen is not only one of the best shows on currently, but is the best comic book show of all time.
Mm-hmm.
And when people are talking Watchmen in nerd culture, it's definitely casting a huge shadow on everything else. And Mandalorian isn't getting the hype and buzz that Watchmen is right now.
Right.
But that being said, I actually am really enjoying it because I like Mando.
Yeah.
If I didn't like him, if I didn't feel a connection to him, I probably wouldn't be feeling that way. Baby Yoda's cool too, but Baby Yoda actually was not in as much of this episode. I don't think that's a spoiler. Just
no,
was in a little less of this episode than other episodes
in
the past.
Also, did Baby Yoda always make those noises, or did I just start hearing them?
It's becoming a little bit more apparent. I think it's because he's always been making them, or he or she, we don't know, has been making those noises, and it's just it's starting to
land. Because it sounds more like a baby, and it's kind of freaking me out more. Mm. It's like getting less cute.
Because babies freak me out. Don't become human, because then you're not cute.
Because babies aren't as cute as Baby Yoda.
So, totally. Yeah. Cody, did you watch?
I have not yet.
Okay. Alex?
Nope.
Okay.
So are you guys, cool, now Cody and Alex, but you guys are watching Watchmen.
Yeah.
That show's amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what's hard.
I watch that immediately once it's available.
Well, this show isn't making the cultural stance that Watchmen is right now.
No, I think it's just good Star Wars.
Yeah.
It's just like,
and
it's nice
agree.
To have good Star Wars out there, and the Star Wars nerds like me and all of us really are enjoying being in the Star Wars universe, but it's not breaking new ground like Watchmen is.
And we don't have – in movies, in the Star Wars movies, we don't have time to go spend a half an hour on a journey where you're just at the end of it, you either did or did not accomplish what you set out to do, but regardless, it doesn't quite matter. We do have time to do that on the show. So I think that they're just breathing a little bit, taking their time to explore the universe, show us what they've got here. And I do think that they will pick up the pace.
They have to.
And do you guys think it suffers a little bit from the fact that – and this could just be the way I look at it, obviously. But because every episode, Mando is going through like a different set of journey, right, where he's meeting different characters that we don't know. And that's hard to – I think for the audience to be like, oh, yeah, I care about this character that you just met every single episode. So that's like a new person, right?
Yeah, that's an interesting point because it kind of goes to the overall what I felt for with both of these last two episodes. Almost like we're just kind of treading water. We're just kind of there.
Right. I like the person we met this episode, though.
You did?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I had.
Well, I know we met a few of them, but the person.
Are you talking about the dude or
no?
The,
I'm
the
talking about the
woman.
The woman that we meet early on.
Okay, so
I like her a lot. She's quirky.
Yeah.
I don't know what's happening with her.
Right.
She makes strange faces.
There have been a couple
You're like, she's weird. I like her.
You didn't feel that character in particular kind of stuck out like a sore thumb like I did.
No, she definitely stuck out like a sore thumb. But some people in life stand out like sore thumbs.
And I'm
like,
okay with that. It just felt a little bit un-Star Wars.
I know, and people have been saying that on the internet, like, she doesn't fit in a Star Wars world, but like, how many times do you meet somebody on the street in our world and think, like, that person's not of this world?
Right.
But that's her. She's great. Weird for that universe.
But that's the thing about, I mean, tonally, I think, is a problem for all of us because a lot of us grew up with the original trilogy, right? And that has a specific tone, but then the prequels have an entirely different tone, right?
Right.
The new movies have a different tone. Like Solo had a different tone. So there's all of the Star Wars universe has expanded so much that's why I'm not, you know, that fangirl that was like, brah, this is not my Star Wars anymore. And now I'm just like, you know what? There's something for everyone. And Mandalorian has cool stuff in it. And even if it's different tonally, some people are really enjoying it.
Tonally speaking, though, sometimes we land on the moon and sometimes we have 9/11. You know, like the world has different tones.
Damn. Way to bring it down.
Well, I don't mean to. I'm just saying, like, life has different tones.
Totally.
Like, you look on your Twitter and trending number one will be that there's a shooting in Florida, right. which I don't even know what happened this morning that I saw. And trending number two will be like
Justin Timberlake holding someone's hand and people getting upset about that.
That's so weird. Exactly. Like, and I see those things. Like, life has all tones.
Yeah.
All of the tones.
At the same time, I think that's why our brains are being like sort of rewired with social media because we're just getting like, holy shit, this horrible news. And then I'm like, oh, look at Baby Yoda. He's so cute. At the same time. And our brains don't know what to do with it.
I'm not a moron. I've said plenty of times that the tone of a movie seems out of place. It's not like I'm just like, all tones work for film, but I'm okay when we have an entire universe tapping into different tones.
Yeah. Right.
I'm okay with that. That wasn't the only Star Wars Mandalorian news, though. I saw that episode 7, Mark.
Episode 7?
Yeah.
Or episode 9.
Episode 7.
Yes, episode 7.
I teed you up perfectly, and you just
sure
didn't,
did.
You just didn't
for
care.
For some reason, I was – well, episode 7. For some reason, I thought – why are we talking about Force Awakens?
No.
But then I realized we're still talking about episodes. The Mandalorian. So episode 7 of The Mandalorian is going to release early on a Wednesday before – because these drop on Fridays. That's going to be Rise of Skywalker. But on that Wednesday episode, we're also going to get a sneak peek at Rise of Skywalker, which I think is pretty cool. It's getting every
wow.
So I think that's a great – of course we are. It's going to get everybody excited. If you – or living under a rock watching The Mandalorian, you're going to know that Rise of Skywalker is coming out 2 days later. So I think it's smart and it's getting people excited. And I'm certainly excited to, A, get it early and to get a little bit more excited for Rise of Skywalker. However, I will say this. I'm not going to watch that sneak peek of Rise of Skywalker. I don't need to see anything else.
Me either. I just want to see the movie.
Oh, yeah. I'll watch.
Thank you, Christian Bale.
Because you want to watch everything.
I'm just such a millennial in that way. You like, are. If something is out there, I'm watching it.
Really? Because yeah, you don't want to wait to like, in the theater and enjoy for the first time, too? Though?
No. Even when people...
Nope.
Even when...
Nope.
This is what happens, too. Because like, when people's sex tapes are leaked or like images...
Here we are. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, I think to myself...
I was like, shit.
I think to myself, be strong. Don't look.
Yeah, but that's different.
Because that's respectful and it's not out there on purpose.
Right.
But I gotta tell you, I look like 100% of the time.
Oh, yeah. No, but that's just like, I think bodies are beautiful and I just wanna look at them. That's how I feel.
Totally, but that's the same. That's how I feel about trail. If something is out there, I can't not. I shower with the curtain open. I can't not see what's happening at all times.
Wait, what? Are you serious? Things,
yeah. Oh, my God.
How do you not have the water
I
come
do.
Out?
I have to put towels on the floor.
Because you don't want the... I just do can't. You get scared when that the Norman Bates is going to show
this.
Up?
Hold
or
on.
What?
Like, are you worried, about Norman Bates coming in
that's
the shower here?
Just, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's what you
I can't not see like what's happening. I got to know.
All right.
Is that why you don't sleep? Because you don't want to close your eyes?
Totally. Totally.
See?
All the time. I did try to train myself to sleep with my eyes open, but that doesn't work.
Holy shit.
I seriously, if something is out there, I'm looking at it. I don't have it inside me. Last night, I was taking a shower, and I'm thinking to myself.
With the shower. With
So I'm trying to test it, because I also like therapy. So my therapist all the time is telling me, like, you have crazy OCD with shit. Like, you got to try to be better.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I'm like,
don't we all?
Okay, I'm going to make her proud. I'm going to close the curtain for 30 seconds at a time. So I'm like in the shower.
Baby steps.
I'm like shampooing my hair and stuff with one eye open because you can't close both eyes. I'm shampooing whatever. I'm like, okay, now's a good time to close the curtain. So like close the curtain. I'm sitting there. I'm like 29, 28.
Are you serious?
27, 5, 4. And then just like open it up like so quickly because I got to know what's happening out there.
Are you Jack Nicholson and As Good As It Gets?
Why did I rub my hair that
right.
much?
She has like all the soaps in the thing.
It's weird. Yeah.
Wow.
I can't. I don't know.
Do you, Cody, Alex, do you guys have anything like that?
Nope. I mean, I'm trying to think.
Cool.
My OCD
I mean, no,
is
look,
just
I
with
have
like,
some of it. But...
Yeah, mine's with like keeping things tidy at my apartment. Yeah. Like I'll get like fixated on certain things. Like last night I just redid my shelf. And like Julia was like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, I don't know.
Well,
the weirdest thing for me is like basically anything that has notifications on my phone, I hate not checking it. Mm-hmm. And so I've done, I've had to like turn them off because otherwise I'll go crazy.
What I've learned about you, Dorina, doing the show with you is that now I will like line these up because if I don't, you will reach across during the show and take my pages.
Hey, hold on.
And transfer them.
This is my own thing here.
No, okay? But it's wrong.
No. Yeah, no, I need it like that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You're like a cat now.
I know. It's just like.
And I saw it all.
Yeah. You did. Good for you. Oh, good for you.
All right, Mark, what's our next news story? What do we got?
Well, I think this is cool. We have our first kind of details for Ghostbusters.
Is it a cool quick story?
It's a quick story.
Because we only have like 2 minutes to talk about.
Yeah, we have like zero time. But,
Ghostbusters, what's going on?
Yeah, thank you. Vanity Fair reports the new story. We got more story from it finally. Which is that the story is going to follow Carrie Coon as mom Callie, her sign-obsessed daughter Phoebe, and gearhead son Trevor. And they all move to a small town where then they inherit some property from Callie's father, whom she didn't know. And they didn't know that they're somehow connected to the original Ghostbusters. So they're starting to find like old things that connect to the Ghostbusters on an old farm, and they discover their connections. Trevor and Phoebe are about to find out who their grandfather was and whether they're ready to pick up the proton packs themselves. So I think one of the original Ghostbusters is probably the grandfather.
Who?
Are they like the Venkmans?
I'm thinking Venkmans. And I'm thinking that maybe Carrie Coon's mother, Sigourney Weaver.
Ooh, Dana.
Wow. Yeah. Those are like two of the best actresses ever.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes to that.
So they're all coming back, right? Like Sigourney's coming back. Like we have to.
Sigourney Weaver's coming back.
Is that confirmed?
It's confirmed.
Oh, shit.
Sigourney Weaver is back. Bill Murray is back.
Of course.
Dan Aykroyd, of course, is back.
How do you feel about
not
this?
Not Rick Moranis.
No, Rick Moranis.
Dorina, do you like this kind of plot?
I love Ghostbusters so much. I'm obsessed with it. I didn't hate the last movie like everybody else, but I didn't really like it either.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
So I hope that because Reitman's involved, we'll actually get something more like the old school.
I think, and it's playing on what we've been doing with these nostalgic properties. Yeah. We're picking up years later. Halloween just did it. Terminator just did it. Ghostbusters is now doing it. So picking up years and years later, kind of ushering in a new cast members, you know, with Finn Wolfhard is the one of the sons, and then Carrie Coon, obviously. Paul Rudd is in there somehow connected to all this. So
probably
I'm excited.
The Ant-Man connection. He probably went through the
– Do you think so?
Yeah.
So we're connected to Marvel.
But yeah. Because what's the place that he's in? The
Quantum Realm.
Yeah.
Oh,
so he
okay.
probably like took
just,
that
like, met
through
Slimer there.
There
and
yeah,
he like took him to him.
Yeah. Okay. Instead of a right turn to go save the world using time travel, you go left. You meet up with all the ghosts and it's Ghostbusters Afterlife.
And then Wasp is in the post-credit scene of this. So
if they bring back On Our Own by Bobby Brown to the soundtrack, I'll be very happy. Just saying.
Well, we're going to be talking about this movie for quite some time, but a movie that we are going to talk about right now, A Million Little Pieces, guys, because we have Sam and Aaron Taylor Johnson coming in right after this break, so don't go anywhere.
What's up, guys? It's your boy Dorian. What's up, guys? It's your boy Dorian. What's up, guys? It's your boy Dorian.
David Johnson.
Aliens and shit. Aliens and shit. Aliens and shit.
The Action Guys.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Collider Live, the best show on the YouTubes. We've been hyping it up all week, guys, but we are talking about A Million Little Pieces because we have Sam and Aaron Taylor Johnson in studio today.
Thanks for being here.
I'm glad you put those on just in time to hear our live studio audience clap for you.
Oh, yeah.
They're going crazy. Dorina and I were able to see the movie last night, and we loved it. Great job to both of you. Excellent job. I know that for the last 10 years, you guys have been switching off who gets to work and who's staying home with the kids. Yeah. You guys are both working on that. How does that affect you guys? Did you guys just talk about that beforehand, or?
I think we just, what made the decision of being one-on, one-off, I think, we just really enjoy being parents and being at home and really just decided that we'll travel together and stick together and try and give them a childhood, so.
Yeah, we're like the Von Trapp family. We all go together. But this one, we're lucky Aaron's mom came, took care of the kids. We shot everything in L.A., doubling as Wisconsin in the winter.
And in 20 days.
That's crazy. Yeah.
Was that part of the decision to do it so quickly because you guys wanted to get back to your family? Or
no, we would have much preferred that.
A bit more time would have been great.
But it did help for that.
We had a small budget. I think this book was going to be, a big Hollywood studio movie. And I think by the time it got to us, it was, a small indie shot in 20 days, which was actually, I think, appropriate to the material and the story because nothing is glossed over and it's very raw and very real, I think. But the 20 days was certainly an advantage to the family.
How was this different from the first time that you worked together in Nowhere Boy?
How was it different? I mean,
well, you're together now.
Well, yeah, exactly. Both professionally and personally, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess we had seen each other sort of grow and evolve as an actor, as a filmmaker on other projects. And I think, I've seen Sam as a filmmaker have to make a lot of compromises against her will, against her vision. And I just think there's... so when this film came about, it was amazing to have full creative control and really have her voice in this film. So that's kind of why we wanted to do that and hope we can kind of keep it integral to her voice. So.
You guys were involved in all areas of this project, from writing, starring, directing, everything. And one of the things that I love, you guys have been doing a ton of press for this. By the way, you guys look amazing right now. Congrats on not being just exhausted. But something that you guys have been addressing head on over and over is the controversy around this book.
Yeah.
Is that something that you guys talked about? Like, should we touch this project because of what happened with the book? And how did it actually affect your process?
I think actually it made us more resilient to getting it made because I loved the book when I first read it. And I loved ultimately the message of the story and how he wrote it. And he wrote it very freeform consciousness. And he's never reread anything he's written. So that's his process. But
he does no editing at all of it.
No, he just out it comes. So
like same. A journal, kind of. Damn. Okay,
yeah. For me, the story never changed or diminished, I guess, through the controversy. And so we didn't want to focus on that because it's there for people. People either know about it or Google and see what happened. But it kind of made me feel more determined to make the movie because I felt like ultimately James has been through addiction treatment, rehab, and recovery. He's also been through shame, public humiliation on a huge scale, and yet he still stands before us 26 years sober. And for me, that's the ultimate message and the truth, if you like, through the whole journey of him. And so that made us feel very strongly about making the movie. But it's been a challenge constantly because I feel like the controversy and people's thoughts about it have constantly been trying to sort of pull the movie back. So it's sort of made us even more like we're getting it out there. But it's been a journey, that's for sure.
Do you think that the controversy itself is affecting the release of the movie at all? Like, has that been difficult? It seems like you're focusing on his story and his personal journey more so than all the BS around it,
Yeah, it tends to be what people focus on when they write about our movie, which then, of course, affects its ratings and then, of course, affects people. But it's something that we keep sort of saying, this is James's story as he stands before us now. And really the message is compassion and forgiveness. And I think that's an important message today as important today as it was in 93 when he entered rehab in 2005. You know, it's always an important message and one of hope as well, because the movie, yes, it deals with addiction and the darkness that he goes through, but we have Billy Bob Thornton, who brings in so much humor. And
I thought he was really funny, actually. He's Giovanni Ribisi is hysterical at times, too.
Amazing, and breaks your heart, and Juliette Lewis. And so we also have, you know, stellar performances, humor along with the darkness, but the through line just being James's survival, really.
And you guys got to spend 18 months with him. What do you think of James? Because we don't know him. The world really doesn't know him as a person. We've only seen him on Oprah or wherever his name was in tabloids.
Yeah. I love him dearly. He's, you know, we became very, very close over those 18 months, one of which we went back to the treatment center where he went. And he hadn't been back in over 20 years. So stepping through those doors again was really quite an emotional, overwhelming experience. And kind of living through those his steps, and you know, he's someone who is battling with addiction every day, still 26 years sober, but you know, that pain and that fury is still bottled up inside him, and he talks about it a lot. I mean, he's a complex person, and you know, he's been through a lot. Public shaming, I think, you know, that was so much so deeply sort of you know, it's exposing, and it's kind of how our first scene of the movie, you know, how we open up the movie, was kind of emulating that and that experience. And but yeah, he's a special person. He's got a lot of heart. Very loyal. You know, I went to go back and I sort of spent some time with his brother and his friends. And he's someone that you could text and he would text you back. And he called me this morning. He called me this morning and he told us, you know, he's just...
About the movie or just as a friend?
He just called this morning and just said, you know, it's a big day and I just want to thank you and Sam and how much really love and appreciate everything we've done. He's just someone who's got a big, big heart, and he's, you know, but he carries his wounds as well, you know. He's sort of, you know, he's got a lot. It's complex.
Did your relationship with him, I'm assuming, helped your process as through like how you were going to play this role? Because you were amazing in it, and it's a very difficult thing to play, like to bring out that emotion, especially of like, I'm not sure about your personal life, but like to be an addict. I mean, that's something that a lot of people struggle with. So how did you approach that?
Yeah, many different angles, but yeah, I mean, obviously I wanted to really tap into what was James' journey and how he beautifully articulates in the book that pain and that fury, and how could I embody that in the film? And one way was that Sam wanted to have this sort of physical element, this sort of contemporary dance, sort of expressionistic sort of body movement, a physicality to it, which we explored and had fun bringing to the screen. But yeah, I also have friends that are addicts, and I have friends that have relapsed. I have friends that are celebrating sobriety, and some that are sadly not with us anymore. Mm-hmm. And that's just, you know, so soul destroying. But I knew going into this was a character that needed to be. I needed, you know, give it my all and wear my heart on my sleeve and just kind of and show every aspect, vulnerability. You know, you're dealing with an addict. It's such low self-esteem and self-destruction and shame and insecurity and fury and so much darkness that there is, it feels like there's no room to climb up that ladder and find the light at the end of the tunnel. And I was interested in that character arc and that journey. It was great to play.
It's not the first time you've had to step into a very difficult character's shoes. I heard so many amazing things about Nocturnal Animals, and yesterday morning I decided to wake up, and what an interesting movie to watch in the morning time, yeah. I will say. Oh, 6 a.m. Nocturnal Animals. But it was an excellent, incredible movie, and while I was watching it, I don't know if you guys think about this at all when you're picking your projects, but all I kept thinking was like, what an Oscar-worthy performance this is. Just such an amazing job. When you guys are thinking about what the next film you're going to direct is, or what next role you're going to take, or now script you guys are going to write, are you thinking about awards at all, or can that not be on your mind?
I think that's danger zone. I think that's a recipe for disaster. I think it's unhealthy. I think it's poison. I think it actually...
So no?
It affects every creative, natural, instinctive feeling. It's mad how it can suck you in quite quickly, and your ego go on another journey, and your narcissism go off the scale, you know? It's weird. I think generally I've never chosen a job due to what the hopeful outcome would be. I've seen people do it. I've seen filmmakers do it, and they've fallen flat on their face, and it's not gone the whole distance. But generally, if you feel a gut instinct and you want to go on that journey as an art form, and you're just coming to work every day with prepared and with your research done, and you're really interested, and it's a passion project, and the experience is more than anything. You know, you want to have a great experience. I never know what the film's going to end up like, but as long as I went on a journey and I grew as an actor with the filmmaker, and then I've had a moment to do something new and different.
What about for you, Sam?
Yeah, because I was going to ask for both of you, because you've done big movies like 50 Shades of Grey. Aaron, you've obviously done Kick-Ass. You know, you've been in an Avengers movie. You guys have definitely done stuff that's big budget. Mm-hmm. But now this seems like a very personal project, and it seems like you both you were able to actually have more power over this than other projects. Like, do you prefer that? Do you miss the fact that you? Oh yeah.
Well, he alluded to the fact that you haven't always been able to have the creative freedom, and that studios have said otherwise.
Yeah, it's better, I think, for the soul and artistic creative process to be able to control or have control as a filmmaker. Because if you're a filmmaker with a vision, and then someone says, "Actually, I want you to do it this way," and you think, "That's not my vision, that's your vision," then you're going to get head to head, and that is unhealthy when you're trying to create something, because you just get tangled in knots. And something like this, because it was a small budget indie movie, and James Fry was so generous, he said, "Have the book and I'm not going to be involved, just be creative and create art, because that's in the spirit of which I wrote it." You know, that is like a golden ticket for a filmmaker, because you can just freeform. And we did freeform, and we went off-road from the book, and Aaron dances in it, and there's some very sort of surreal moments, and they're not in the book, but they're very much the spirit of what he's dealing with. And that's, as a filmmaker, that's gold. That's really how you measure. Yes, I made a very successful movie, but the experience of it wasn't personally a success. Whereas this one, it's been 2 years. It's been really difficult to get into the world, but the passion has kind of kept it alive for both of us, I think.
I did want to ask you about that experience, because I've heard different things, but I always like to get it from the person themselves, that there was issues with you and the author, that was where the creative differences lied. What was that experience on set like for you, and why were you not involved in the following two movies?
It was difficult because, and I can say it with sort of compassion now that I have distance from it, but, E.L. James wrote the books. They were very much in her mind and in her world, and she had a very specific way that she wanted this movie shot. And I came on board as a, creative artistic director, which is why they hired me, with a polar opposite vision. And so the two of us, we collided, but we got the movie made, and it became successful and everything. But personally, I found it incredibly difficult to have that. And the studio wasn't the issue; they were supportive. But it was just like I said, in hindsight, two very strong visions. And in fairness to her, it was her book, and she had a particular way she wanted it to be seen. And I was making a movie and knew that it needed to be different from that. And the tussle was real.
Whose vision did we end up seeing?
I mean,
no, I think it's a mix. I think thing is, what happens is, I think, it's just...
That was husband material right there.
There's just many, many compromises along the way, It's not really that it tends to be... In some cases, it does. I mean, you hear of it, too. And, Sam's just not really, like, a director for hire just to do that job, Like, you're asking for so much more when you... when you hire Sam as director, it's she takes on the whole thing, and it's a, visual experience, and she's a leader on set, and it's a whole different thing, you know. And I think probably because she was an artist in, you know, before being a filmmaker, having complete control of her work. So, but yeah, and you see it. You see it nowadays as well. Studios will pluck an incredible director that's got first-time film in Sundance, stick him on the biggest studio movie, and then there's problems halfway through because they have different, you know, they have their voices completely
different. But to go back to the question, I think, you know, I think the movie really was, yes, there were compromises, but, you know, it did work and it became successful. But there are definite things that I really wish were still in the movie. And, you know, and if... and
can you talk about them?
Oh, God, I wish. no.
What just other ideas you wanted to strive to do?
There was a lot of ideas and to explore, but whatever. It is what it is, and like I said, success. Success, how do you measure it? But, you know, now I couldn't go through the journey of 2 and 3 in the same way. And I don't think they could either. And it was, you know, it wasn't a sort of acrimonious, angry parting of ways. It was just like probably best. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and I think if I, you know, saw Erica today, I'd give her a hug and say, you know what, it all worked out just fine.
Kind of interesting, though, that the project that you guys decided to work on together was another book adaptation. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, controversial I book know. Adaptation. You seriously must have lucked out with that phone call to him where he was like, just take it and do whatever you want with it.
Amazing.
But I'm surprised that you had the feeling that you wanted to go into that realm again.
I can't help myself, I think. I think also if something feels like a humongous challenge, I'm like, yeah, I can do this. Give it to me, I'll do it. And then halfway in, I'm like, why do I do this to myself? Why can't I just take the easy road?
What do you guys feel like is the challenge that's the guiding light for you right now? I heard you guys say musical together or something.
I mean, I'd love to do a musical because I know Aaron's an incredible dancer and he can tap dance. And
ooh, can you sing too?
And he can sing because he did in Nowhere.
Because at Nowhere, that's right.
So that, and also I keep thinking it'd be nice because obviously we've been in a very dark atmosphere for a good couple of years with this movie. Just send us into something
lighter.
Something.
Is there a musical that you have in mind?
No, but last night we were sitting having dinner and we're like free-forming. What if?
Please do Little Shop of Horrors. That's my favorite.
Yeah, but that's the thing. It's already great.
I know.
You don't want to
take
something that's already great.
Mm. I think you guys could rock it.
Yeah.
You could
do
a new adaptation, maybe.
Is there a major franchise that either of you guys are looking to be a part of right now? Obviously, going from the Marvel universe, it's as big as it gets, but a Star Wars, a Star Trek, a DC, something that you guys really want to be a part of.
I mean, I grew up loving Star Wars. Star Wars is the best. Yeah.
Were you watching
Mandalorian?
Would you like to direct?
Sorry,
go ahead.
Are you watching Mandalorian?
I'm going to.
I haven't started that now. So
but would you say yes to a Star Wars project?
Of course, who wouldn't? I mean, it's an amazing... I've been on the journey of it all my life.
What about you, Aaron? Since you have been, you know, in Kick-Ass is one of my favorite superhero movies. Obviously, like Quicksilver, like all these characters that we all grew up with, because here our Collider audience is basically, you know, we're all nerds here.
Bunch
we love
nerds.
This stuff. Yeah, pretty much. So is there something that are you kind of, now that you've taken a break from it, would you like to come back to it at all? Or
yeah, I'm interested in doing a trilogy or a franchise or whatever, you know, if the character was and the story was right and interesting. I mean, it doesn't bother me whether it's big, small, it's on a scale that needs to be commercial. It doesn't really, I'm never really affected by what genre I'm jumping in and out of. It's just whether I can tap into some, you know, whether I can take that character on a journey or not, you know.
But you didn't grow up like her. We're like, oh, I love Star Wars.
Oh, man, I think, you know, I'm sure, it's, of course, to be in Star Wars would be amazing. And, you know, anything on the DC side is amazing. You know, I enjoyed being on with Marvel. There's a good family. You know, those ones are huge. They're huge families, you know. They're already got their, it's always... kind of cool to be a part of that, you know, as a crew.
You've been acting since you were 6 years old. Mm-hmm. So if every set you're on
so I'm
going
to retire now.
So. Well, it's been decades. But if every set you're on is a family, because I heard you talking to, I think it was Josh Horowitz, saying that even since you were six, your first heartache ever was having to leave the first set you were on when you were 10 or something because it was so devastating to leave the family. Which set that you've been on for both of you guys has felt the most like a family?
What about for you? I don't. What set have we been on? Has been most like.
Well, probably the most recent, because you know, shooting something in 20 days brings a community.
Yeah,
the little
pieces definitely had that for sure, because the way we had to make it, it was everyone hands on, collaborating, and
We all had to really come together in a tight kind of knit movie.
We're still very close with the people on Nowhere Boy as well.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Cool. And in fact,
and even Seamus McGarvey, I've worked with him. He's a cinematographer on Nowhere Boy. I've worked with him about three other times. So. Yeah.
But yeah, it was a decade to the week that Nowhere Boy came out this week. So they screened it in Liverpool last night, which is so nice that within the same week we have that and then a million little pieces.
My mother's the biggest Beatles fan, so we actually took her to Liverpool for her 64th birthday.
Oh, wow.
You know, so she's the one that you have to come watch this movie with me. She cried, it was a whole thing.
Oh,
so she
amazing.
I
love that.
For a million little pieces, how do you guys get everybody to sign on to this movie? You said you didn't have a big budget. You're shooting it really fast. Your cast is badass in this film. Is that because you guys have just made such big names in this space that everybody wants to do it for you? Was there begging, borrowing, and stealing going on? Like, how did you do this?
It's really just Sam. Firstly, she manifests everything, and she also has this innate optimism, and she's just a joy to work with, and I think as an actor, you want to work with someone who gives you that space to experiment and explore, and there's so much trust there. So it's always, from cast even to the crew, we have Jeff Cronenworth shooter who shot Fight Club and every Fincher movie up until then. And, I think there is some people that we made friends with over time, so like Charlie Hunnam, the story was that,
he was on Fifty Shades with me originally, and then when he parted ways from the movie, we said to each other, right, whatever we do next, let's try.
So you were on good terms with him when he parted from the project.
In fact, we became really close friends because of that, and so it was really, when the time's right.
Yeah,
come in
and
do this.
And the thing with Charlie is, the irony is, he plays such sort of alpha male leading roles of these sort of, very big, masculine sort of dudes, and he's just the sweetest, compassionate, loving, caring person. And when we was writing this character, Bob, the brother of James, who's just pulls him out of the gutter, and he's with him the whole journey. He's there for him. He's very caring. And when we were writing it, I just couldn't help but keep Charlie in my mind. I just felt like if I ever had to have a brother, I would love him to be my brother. And a lot of the cast was a bit like that. It was just sort of wishful casting. And
what about Billy Bob?
Billy Bob, the same was like, when we had pictures of everybody on our wall, like when we were writing, in order to kind of like get a sense of like their dialogue or their character or the way they would move. And, and you would just hope you would get Giovanni Ribisi and Juliette Lewis and people like that. And,
and we did.
Enough, we got all the ones that were on our wall. So.
You talked about staying close after the shoot was done. And somebody I noticed that you were close with, because you did all of your press with during Avengers, with Elizabeth Olsen. Did you guys remain friends afterwards?
Yeah, Lizzie's really close friends. Yeah, yeah. Because we worked on Godzilla as well before Avengers. Yeah.
And,
so we played, yeah.
And I mean, okay, so you guys, how long have you guys been married now?
Seven years.
We've been together.
So yeah, that's. I mean, it's pretty amazing because I'm married to and I have a pretty healthy, awesome relationship with my husband now. It's been very long, right? now that you've gotten like the several years of practice, so that's pretty crazy that you guys are working together. Like, what's that like to be able to like? Does that make it better? Like for the project because you guys have a great, healthy relationship, or does it make it a little bit more challenging? Like, what's like?
No, I love it. I mean, I think it's great because.
I was always getting frustrated on everything I was doing. I was like, why am I leaving the best actor at home? And
when we
got together to do this, the excitement of what it would be like on set where we could both go to work together at 4 o'clock in the morning and collaborate and also, you know, the advantage was because we were shooting it in 20 days at such high speed, I could say to Aaron, you have one take, you better nail it, you know, and we could do that. And also I'd had the confidence that he could, because I know that when Aaron, you know, reads scripts, he starts to become the character literally by page five if it's what he thinks he's going to be doing. And so I start to see Aaron disappear and he starts to become whoever he's playing. And, you know, that's not always easy, especially with Ray from Nocturnal Animals. That was a tough guy to live with.
That's not a great dad to bring home.
Yeah, it was tough.
Yeah,
it was tough.
It's got to be really challenging. And I know that your guys' writing process is so different as well, because it's not just on set. You guys wrote it together. You're somebody who buckles down and can write for many, many hours. You're somebody who kind of needs to wander with her thoughts, from what I've heard from interviews.
Yeah, exactly.
What about communicating during that? Was that ever challenging, or just knowing that about each other, did it help push through?
Oh, I mean,
is somebody more stubborn than the other one?
That's the real dirt.
There's a healthy aspect to that, I think, you know. But the thing is, luckily, we had the filmmaker. It wasn't just, you know, writers and then trying to pitch this to a director. We had the filmmaker know exactly what she wanted and kind of visualize a lot of the scenes. So we just needed to put those down on paper and structure it. We also had the book to work from, which we pulled apart and dissected. And then we went on, and 18 months, we did a whole load of extensive research, went back to the treatment center and all those things. But I think it was good collaborator. It was good balance, you know. Obviously, it took me hours upon hours while I'd sit there because, you know, there was so much structurally to get down, and I'd play around with different dialogues, and then I'll throw it with Sam, and what does this feel like, and that. And then Sam... No, you know, she's a director. She knows exactly what she wants and is able to get across what she wants. So, you know, in between that time, she'll be creatively doing something else or thinking about, you know, she might run over and go, oh, I've just figured it out, you know. I think you need gap and breath and procrastinate a little bit in order to new ideas to spark. And we just bounce off of each other ideas quite a lot. So it's really good. It was felt kind of, you know, it felt healthy, and it was one of my most... favorite parts of the whole process was in that bubble of writing. You know?
Yeah, I heard that on his wall, on James Frey's wall, that there is a public stoning painting, and that it's him, and he feels like when he was on the Oprah show that he was publicly stoned. Uh-huh. Do you guys think with A Million Little Pieces, this is a chance at redemption for him, that people won't look at him that same negative light that they were looking at him over a decade ago?
I think it's with the – I think it's whoever – you know, I think they got to look at themselves. I don't think it's really going to be about whether they read his book or they watch this film. I think there's definitely – it's this point right now that's like there's – we're so quick to judge, cancel people, you know, like you messed up and that's it. There's no room for growth or evolving or pushing through. And it's those people that really need to step back and have a little look at themselves and reflect and see if they can find a bit more compassion in their heart and a bit more forgiveness, because we're all human. We're not perfect. And I think that's why I enjoy acting, is like to play a character like this who's not necessarily a likable character. He's a character who's in denial. He's reluctant to change. And yet he's broken, and he's, you know, he's given up on his life. And, you know, and it takes a community to put him back together again and say, hey, there's more to life than just, you know, being down here, and you can work through it. And they give him space. And in that space, he grows and he finds the light and is able to have the willpower and the strength to say no to those addictions. But, yeah, maybe they'll watch it and they'll have a sense of empathy, a sense of forgiveness. But there's in our culture right now, there's a lot of people who are happy throwing them stones because it makes them feel better.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just point you. You messed up, so you know now I feel good about myself. So.
Do you feel like that's something that's happening more now than before? because of the technology, social media? Or
maybe. Maybe there's just a more on a global scale. Yeah, absolutely, because we can all connect quicker across. So it's definitely the school playground brought into a global scale because, you know, we all grew up with all that sort of stuff, and that's how we all grew as kids. I mean, that's what you learn, don't you, how to sort of you say something wrong at some point.
But I think also it's fair to say that, you know, let's look, what's the crime, you know, with him especially? Because the vitriol is so strong. And I think that that really we should look at him differently now that he survived that and is still sober, and how much resilience and strength that must have taken to be on a public stage with everyone mocking and throwing stones.
Well, he means a great deal to a lot of people, and that book means a great deal to a lot of people. It doesn't diminish. You know, there is a controversy, but you'll find there is a group of people who that connected with, and it saved their lives. They went through rehab, and that was the book by their side. And or they knew someone, or a brother or a sister or a loved one was going through it, and they read that book to have a deeper understanding. He's kind of a special person, and... you know, and he's flawed, you know, like we all are. And that's what makes him beautiful, because he's open and able to show that vulnerability. And I hope we try to do that in the movie, too.
I think whether it's real for him or not, I at one point woke up on a plane not knowing how I got there and where I landed, and majorly connected with that moment. Yeah. And can relate to exactly what you're saying about the book. Thank you guys so much for coming in
to share this with us today.
It is in theaters today, guys, in select theaters, A Million Little Pieces. Go see this movie. Sam and Aaron, thank you guys so much for coming in.
And on demand, too.
Thank you. Darina, Mark Riley, Cody, Alex. We'll see you guys Monday morning for Collider Live.
Thank you.
Napa Know How.
Get all the quality parts you need at your locally owned Napa. Because right now, when you order from Napa online, you can pick up curbside at your local store in just 30 minutes. Or get your order delivered direct to your door with free one-day shipping and over 160,000 quality parts when you spend $35 or more. Quality parts delivered quickly and safely. That's Napa Know How.
Napa Know How.
At participating stores, standard ground shipping and exclusions apply.
That little Chico Pitbull, Mr. 305, but it said Mr. Worldwide, and you already know what it is. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Subscribe today. Now, part of the things that we're doing over here at Negative to Positive is encouraging people to change their lives, change the things that are within their power. I want to thank our good friends at KFC for helping me bring this to you. Feed your whole crew with KFC. Let's go. I can get the KFC bucket of chicken, and you know, that's fire. Now, Babo, you know that. You can get that mac and cheese, that mashed potato, gravy, those biscuits. Now that's trouble right there. That is fire right there. You know, on Negative to Positive, we always talking about striving and achievement. And the Colonel Sanders story is a story that inspired me since I was 10 years old. Look how our life comes full circle. Now I'm talking about Colonel Sanders and Kentucky Fried Chicken and how much I love it. Listen to my new podcast, From Negative to Positive. Check out the vodcast. Subscribe today. Apple Podcast, Podcast One, Spotify.